right, it's Friday, August 9th, 2024, at 8:05 a.m., and I'm calling to order the McKinney Housing Finance Corporation meeting. I don't think anyone's here for public comments, so I guess we'll move to consent items. The only item is minutes of the item 24-1840, minutes of the McKinney Housing Finance Corporation meeting of June 14th, 2024. I think those are attached in the packet.
I read the minutes before arriving here, and I would make a motion to accept as written. Take your time to read the minutes if you...
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Next, we'll move on to our regular agenda items. 24-1841. Consider discuss act on an app... Oh, no. Sorry. Let me restart that. We have a revised... item here. So it's 24-1841, motion to approve the application for the embedded resolution approving the McKinney Housing Finance Corporation participation in the Local Government Investment Cooperative Logic Trust.
Thank you, Mr. President. So as you guys see attached, there is an agenda item for the first page of this that kind of explains it. This is an application for us to invest the McKinney Housing Finance Corporation funds into LOGIC, which is the Local Government Investment Cooperative Pool. It's also one of the pools that the city invests their funds in. The interest rates in the pool right now are pretty good. I think a business yesterday, it closed at 5.3749. It's higher than we were looking at some different T-bills to be able to do, and those interest rates were coming in at like 5.34. So these, you know, they do change daily, but the beauty of the pool is liquidity. You know, like at 3 o'clock, anytime before three, we can move funds. Like we can put as much of our funding in there as we want. If something comes up, you have closings, you have a big deal, and you want to close on a project on Friday or something, we can pull those funds and move them, but have them in there earning as much money as possible.
So there's no penalty to withdraw anytime?
There's no penalty withdrawal. You can withdraw at any time as long as it's before 3 p.m. It's like dealing with your bank.
Oh, wow. So same day, you don't have to give them notice.
No.
Same day withdrawal.
No, absolutely.
It's a mark-to-market every day?
Yes.
Oh, this
yes.
is amazing.
And so this is the one that's before you. I'm happy to answer any questions. It kind of spells it out. It is AAA rated investment program. Again, it is one of the ones that the city uses. Hilltop does manage this as well. It goes through Hilltop and JP Morgan. So we'll kind of just do our best to see how much money we can make for you guys to continue to do many, many more great things with the funds that it earns.
I'm curious, how did you all come up with this? Did y'all have a discussion around it?
We did not. This is one of the ones that we use as the city, and it's actually our financial advisors had sent us this one a while back to look into as well, because Hilltop is one of the administrators of the program.
Just curious, what are we doing now?
Currently, we aren't doing anything. We're earning interest within our accounts, and then we have, but since they keep growing, very minimal. So we really need to get it into something to earn more money on what we're doing.
Yeah, this is better than the last one that Hilltop brought.
It was.
And see that 1% they were doing, and so we've been complaining about it for the last.
And that's why we didn't really move forward with it then. We kind of did, you know, the internal bank one, and then this one now makes sense as we're looking at the numbers. I'm going, let's do this. And your funds keep increasing, so we definitely want to have a return on those funds.
Yeah, smart.
And is there any minimum or any requirement?
No.
Wow. Can personal, like private people invest in this?
Not in this one, but I'm sure there's many others.
You're just saying what we're all thinking.
Right.
Amen.
All right, I will motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries. Next item, 24-1842, consider discuss act on appointment of three McKinney Housing Finance Corporation subcommittee members to develop a request for qualifications for future affordable housing development utilizing public-private partnership with the MHFC.
Thank you, Mr. President. This item, again, is, I know many of you are aware that we've done two co-development deals in the past. We have the most recent one with Palladium and the one prior to that with the Independence. The Palladium didn't go through the RFQ process. We had actually selected a different developer They did not purchase land or receive bond allocations. So Palladium had gone through that process of purchasing and receiving the bonds, and it you know, approached us to say, hey, can you guys partner with us? So we did. So we had actually had a deal that year. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had a development that we partnered with. We usually do the RFQ release every 2 years, kind of like once the one we're partnering on is up and running, and this one's starting to lease now. Wow. Palladium actually is leasing out its first building. So now we're looking to create our next RFQ to see who the next developer is that's going to partner with us. There isn't kind of an estimated timeline in here. It's not starting from scratch. I mean, we do have our prior RFQs, and we'll look at that and see what we want to change. One of the changes this year could possibly be adding in not just new construction, because it's always been, you know, we've looked at it and said we would like new construction. We want it west of 375. This time, you know, we could add in current developments that want to be rehabbed. And so we've had a lot of investors approach us to partner with them in purchasing existing units and rehabbing them and making them affordable. So that would be a possible option in this one. So we're looking for three board members to be on the subcommittee to help us come up with that next RFQ, and then we would bring it to the next HFC board meeting for everybody to approve.
What expectations are required of the three board members who will be selected?
It is to have additional meetings to, I would send you guys the RFQ. You could look over it. We would meet, discuss, throw out some options, see what we feel we want in there. We'd kind of talk about it. We'd create it, and we'd bring it back to the board for approval. You would then be on the selection committee as well. So when we get the proposals back, you would be on the selection committee to decide who we choose. We also ask that we'll have a council member appointed after we have the RFQ approved, and they will be on the selection committee, and then we usually have a city staff on it as well.
I'd love to see the process of work, so I'm happy to be one of them if nobody else jumps in.
I don't even know if I have enough time.
You do not have enough time.
That's
sir.
What I was thinking.
You can do it.
It was fun last time.
I'd be happy to help, but if someone else wants to be on it.
Yeah.
Look at that. We're all jumping at the chance.
Y'all are.
It is cool to go through the process.
I like to learn, and I like to see how things work.
And read all those documents.
There's usually not too many.
Look at those.
Well, now with Jeff, you can like, you know, someone. Like yeah.
And I'm happy to let someone else do it, too.
Yeah, I
love
it.
All right, so we have Paul.
Raji. No, I'm happy to, but I don't want to feel like Wendy, if you're one.
Who'd y'all pick?
I'll gladly do it. It would be nice to kind of to see how.
You're already the president. No, I'm kidding. I'll bow out so that Tyler can.
I mean, as long as there's availability, like everybody has availability to meet and do things. And I mean, it's not going to be really extensive.
Yeah.
But,
no, I'm
available.
For
okay.
Sure, so.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do the three.
All right. So we make a motion to...
Yes, who wants to move?
Let's motion to select Paul, Wendy, and Ranjit to the committee.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries.
I hope nobody opposes their own name.
It's the other guys.
Next item, 241650, consider discuss act on approving the fourth amended and restated bylaws of the McKinney Housing Finance Corporation.
Thank you, Mr. President. This item before you now is the McKinney Housing Finance Corporation has been has been appointed by the City Council to be a community land trust. So with that, we have amended the bylaws. There's a great local government code in here. It's 373B, and that allows you guys to be a community land trust. And with that, you can do additional great things. Other than just the affordable housing that you do now, you will be able to do a community land trust. What the community land trust is, it's where you guys can purchase land. You own the land, which then means if someone comes and buys on that land, you know, builds a house, you get to sell just the structure of the house to them. They own just the structure. We maintain the ownership of the land, which keeps it affordable for them, because instead of that piece of property they built their house on, that land costing them $200,000, they're only paying for the structure, which is $200,000 per se, and so it makes it more affordable for them to get a loan and within that amount. The amendments to your bylaws, they're very minimal. I did attach the clean line, the red line, or it's actually blue line on here for you guys, to show you what exactly did change, and it just adds in there that in addition to what you're already doing, you have been designated as a community land trust through the Chapter 373B, and the purposes for providing affordable housing to residents in our community. And then I think there's one other addition on the second page, and that's really the only places where it amended the bylaws. And again, that talks about where you can acquire raw land to be able to build affordable housing. It could be scattered sites, it could be one big giant development. We've even looked into some of the other options are, since it's so hard to find land, that when you have your home buyers going in and purchasing that home, that we could partner with them buying whatever home they're buying, as long as it's not within an HOA that disapproves and things like that. But we could partner with them buying the home they're wanting, and that the land could come into the community land trust. So there's lots of different options that we're looking at that we'd be able to present back to the board on how we can do great things. We're looking at different community land trusts around Texas and other states.
Any drawbacks to converting?
One more time?
Any drawbacks to changing to community land trust?
You're not changing. It's just in addition. It's just something else that you can add to it.
Does it still reduce housing finance? Tax rolls of the city and
taxes
stuff
or anything like that?
Well, your anything you own is already tax exempt.
But does it bring any additional liability?
No.
If we own the land, but the homeowner, whoever owns the house, is negligent on that land somehow, we're covered.
Right. So it is a lease. It's like a 99-year lease to them and things like that. But yeah, it does not reflect on us in any way if anything happens.
But it allows us to offer more opportunities.
Absolutely.
Do we have a rough order of how many people this will be able to affect?
We do not.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, I mean, really, it's not like there's a certain amount of money. You know, council did appoint, you know, give us $1 million for the community land trust. So we do have money in the community land trust that we can use to help buy land and things like that. But there's no set number on. We do have a goal that we're wanting to purchase 3 lots this year. So that will be the first order of trying to go out there and try to find some lots for us to purchase to use that money.
Is that what's prompting this? In order for us to use that money, then we would need to kind of go through this addition. And then why haven't we done this before? This seems like
it's very new. It's very new. Yeah, we're just now starting to see lots of cities around starting to do it. We're actually the only local city that does it. Dallas just finished going through the process and creating theirs.
Okay.
So, now, it seems like it would be great for people that can participate in it, but it seems like a really low volume type of thing, you know?
Well, right now it is, but I guess...
Right now, this cost of land, unless we're going to contribute like $20 million a year to it, it's going to be just a few.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so it'll just be a few people each year, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also, you know, it's, it is. Because, like you said, land's expensive. And, like, right now, we have $1 million in y'all's budget. Y'all had allocated, I think, $300,000 to purchase land. So, that could be added to it. So you've got like 1.3 million possible that you could look at. But
how much do we have in marketing for this? Like, do we have some line item in the budget?
I don't have our budget in front of us, but we do have a marketing budget.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you guys put like $10,000 or something in the marketing budget.
If the federal or state government tries to do a eminent domain or anything like that for any land that we currently hold a trust to, do we just forfeit or do we actually get reimbursed? Do you know?
That's a great question.
I think it's like the ultimate landowner we would get reimbursed.
I would think so, but because I mean, it's a state and federal entity involved.
Generally, pre-existing neighborhoods and stuff.
Yeah,
and you're just talking about like a few feet of right away for like a sidewalk.
Usually, typically, yeah. Okay.
And like, would we get this tax free? Like, would we be liable for any taxes or anything?
No. Now, the homeowner, whoever owns the structure, still pays taxes on that structure.
Yeah,
it's just the land,
so.
Yes. So there is still tax base being earned. It's not 100% exempt. The structure will be taxed.
That's great. Yeah.
Have we looked at other cities that have been doing this for a while? Are there other examples? Like,
There are several examples, and locally we've really looked at like Houston. Houston has a very robust program.
Yes, but like I could see issues where the homeowner stops paying taxes, and then we've got to like kick out the landowner.
And you can, and then it becomes yours. You have the first right of refusal to purchase and things like that.
But,
or the next person that goes in it has to be considered affordable. But in all the people that I've talked to, they've only had that happen one time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
One time, and it was they ended up, the household ended up running into some issues. I can't remember what happened with
the
family.
Well, I guess what would protect us, too, from being the bad guy would be anyone that's qualifying the program is probably not going to pay cash for the home. And so the banks, they're going to get behind with the bank, too, and not.
Oh, yeah.
So the banks going to end up kicking them out. I just worry about us being the bad guy, like, oh. You know, you didn't pay your taxes this year. So
there's no inheritance associated with this, right? Like the house, like once they, like, I mean, what happens there?
It's generational. So you can leave it to, you absolutely can leave that home to your family.
Mm-hmm. And there's no, like on subsequent owners, there's no income restrictions or anything. It's just.
No, not on the family members. Now, if it were to sell again, there is, because there's that 99 years. Like we're trying to hold this in affordability for 99 years.
Okay, so they agree to like some restrictions on being able to sell the home.
Yes, so the restrictions on the home, and we can get into all that when we do the housings, but the restrictions usually you set, because we haven't set that yet, but normally you set a 1.5% that you allow it to grow over the appraised value annually, so it doesn't get too expensive. Because you know, if we're helping someone get into this house at $200,000 in 3 years, they could sell it for $500,000. We can't let it go that high, because then it's no longer affordable for the next person.
Yeah.
So we set a rate of 1.5%.
I think if y'all really think back when you bought your home, and you go back and look at that deed and that title, it says that you have the house on it, but the land was the developer's. So it still says that like right now. So it's basically that premise. Like, did they ever tell y'all at the title company, like, if you found land on your ground?
If you found oil or anything
like
that.
A lot of the mineral interests.
The mineral rights, yeah.
But like,
so
land, the surface ownership's going to be, even the developer doesn't own the surface.
So yeah, so it's,
I gotta tell
so
my son
those things, so basically
gotta,
it's still
gotta tell
when
my son
that kind of
stop
land,
doing
so.
His archaeological digs in the backyard. So he likes to go back there and dig holes.
So this basically gives us the power to be able to consider and do those kinds of things.
Yes.
And so without the power, when those opportunities come, we don't have the ability. Mm-hmm. And with us having the new projects coming in, all the new projects, all the new revenue that's generating, we're going to need some kind of way to start moving that to be able to make a difference, so it's just not sitting in the bank. Yeah. So this does give us a good ability to use more of the tools that we have at our disposal to be able to serve more.
Sounds like we can also accept donations now, land, because I think that's
Yes, we can. Yeah. We've never had anybody donate land, but we would love to have it. I've actually, there are places that you hear say, oh yeah, we had land donated. I'm like, where?
Yeah. That's why it makes news, because it doesn't happen often.
They usually want a name on top of it.
Right? Yeah.
And not to get too much in the weeds, but let's say the homeowner goes in and they live there for 10 years and they go to sell it and, you know, it's worth $500 now, and the percentage increases are only up to like $330 or something, whatever it is. Who decides who can buy it? You know, because I'm sure they're going to go to the market with a home that's worth $500 that they can only sell for $330.
Exactly. They can only sell it for that $330, so it does stay affordable. So those income restrictions we put in there for affordable, and actually it actually goes up to 120%. You know, usually in our realm when we're talking about affordability, you're talking about 60%, maybe 80% AMI. With community land trust, you can actually go up to 120% of area median income. So, but it does, we want people to income qualify for it stays affordable. But they still get to walk away with their equity. Anything they put into that home, the down payment they put into it, all of those things that they've done, what they've gotten, they get to take back with them. So it's not like they walk away with nothing because we don't let it increase that much. They do actually get to walk away with probably about what they would anyway.
Yeah, but I guess they can't take the upside of the
exactly
market.
Yeah.
And what is the AMI right now?
Right now you can be all the way up to $104,000.
Okay.
So.
And so we could. So it's anybody earning 20% over that.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be helpful for somebody. I mean, you know, out there in our community.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm for it personally. I don't mind voting for it.
So,
so
how old this year is for 4, right?
3.
Okay. Yeah,
that's
pretty good.
And
we budget
on
it.
Any other discussions?
Discussion?
A motion to approve.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Motion carries. Any other comments, Crystal, stuff going on? Anyone else? Other items? Okay, motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Good meeting, everybody.
Yeah.